That's right, yes. And while I have you on the phone, could you give me your participant's name? Aggie Lee?
Well, we have a quorum, so we will start. Transportation meeting will please come to order. Tuesday, February 12, 1986. Let the record show that Representative Pinalberry, Representative Furness, Representative Maru, Representative Herman, and Representative Bedicato, Chairman, are present. We have before us this morning House Bill 460, an act relating to off-road vehicles. Representative Hurley, the sponsor, has requested a statewide teleconference. We have people in Anchorage, Dillingham, Kodiak, Barrow, and Matsu, and have online, oh, and Kotzebue, have online Sitka, Soldotna, Cordova. However, they do not plan, or they're anticipating participants. There's an observer in Dillingham, observer in Barrow who may wish to testify. We will start the teleconference with Representative Hurley, who is here to present her bill. Representative Hurley.
Thank you, Madam Chairman, and members of the Transportation Committee. I don't want to take up a lot of time from the teleconference except to say that the purpose of House Bill 460 is to promote safety practices associated with the use of ATVs, requiring all persons under the age of 17 to wear a helmet and protective gear, require ATV to have functioning brakes, headlamp, taillight, throttle, and exhaust muffler, require all persons under the age of 17 to complete the safety education program prior to operation of an ATV, and establish a comprehensive safety education and training program, which would include areas such as vehicle maintenance, alcohol and controlled substance laws, environmental protection, and emergency first aid procedures, and prohibit the driving of ATVs on a street or highway except for crossing purposes, and make it unlawful to operate an unregistered ATV and make violation of this law a misdemeanor, and upon conviction is punishable by a fine of up to $500 for each offense. And I think with that, I'd like to go to the people out there who have would like to speak to the bill.
All right. Inasmuch as we have more participants from Anchorage than anywhere else, we will start with Dr. Illebridge. When you speak of the mic, would you please give your name and who you represent, or if it's just yourself, say so. Go ahead, Dr. Lillibridge.
I am Dr. Lillibridge. I am the state president of the American Academy of Pediatrics. The Academy is a national organization representing 27,000 pediatricians who have very strong feelings on ATVs. We wish to testify in favor of HB 460.
No.
This is a very mild bill. There are some minor points which the Academy would perhaps change, but basically, we think this is an important beginning. Perhaps the most important part of this bill is that it serves notice to the manufacturers such as Honda, Kawasaki, and others that either they regulate themselves or regulation will be forced upon them. All other segments of our population are required to self-regulate. It's about time the manufacturers fall in line. This could be particularly effective in their advertising, for advertising is a far more effective way of changing behavior than is having regulation. The changes that we would like to see the manufacturers do would be in their TV hype, show the riders wearing helmets. Emphasize the importance of not using alcohol. Major engineering changes, which Dr. McKnight, I think, will be addressing. Changes such as changing the gear ratio so that the maximum speed would be 15 miles an hour. Now, high speed is not needed for needed for excitement or for sales promotion. Look at sailboats. $1 million sailboats have a maximum speed of 9 miles an hour. Yet, it's a very exciting sport. The manufacturers could sponsor closed course races, the course standardized in such a way that the maximum achievable speed would only be 10 miles an hour. A lot of competition, a lot of excitement, great sales. Yet, a safe sport. We have to change this dangerous vehicle into something that is both useful and safe. This bill is very mild. It's a nice beginning. The Academy of Pediatrics is considering legislation to be introduced at a nationwide level in all states next year unless we see major changes occurring in the marketing strategy. The Academy would urge you to consider HB 460 favorably. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any questions of Dr. Lillibridge?
Yes, Madam Chairman.
Yes. Representative Furst would like to ask your question.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. To the doctor, as I understand, doctor, your practice is primarily with adolescents. Is that correct?
Children and adolescents, that's correct.
All right. As I read the bill, it is primarily targeted towards those persons at least 17 years of age or a person who would have a license. Perhaps you could share with the committee your experience with younger persons younger than 17 years of age and the kinds of injuries that you have treated in your practice.
We see appalling numbers of young children, 5, 6, 7 year olds, who are encouraged by their parents to ride these vehicles. The parents say, it has three wheels, it must be safe. Indeed, quite the opposite is true. The three-wheeler is inherently a very unsafe vehicle. We see innocent children and parents unknowingly encourage their children to ride these things, get crushed pelvises, become paralyzed from the waist down, severe head injuries. Myself have cared for 7 children with severe head injuries. 3 of them have died. The others are vegetables and will be expected to continue that way for the rest of their life at no small cost to the state. The cost of rehab for a paraplegic, for a 5-year-old up through 15, is a cost of $1.2 million. Now, these costs will not be entirely borne by their private insurance. This is going to come out of the state coffers. The state can hardly afford in these days of declining revenues to incur such an exposure. We must do something to prevent the injury to these innocent children and to see that their parents are informed that this is a very dangerous sport. Thank you.
Thank you, Doctor, for the information. Thank you, Madam Chairman.
Are there any further questions of Dr. Lillibridge? If not, thank you so much for your testimony. I would like to go now. We'll take one more person from Anchorage before we go anyplace else in the state. Patricia McAdoo.
I was particularly interested in his...
Good morning, Madam Chairman. I'm Patricia McAdoo, and I am the president of the Alaska chapter of the American Physical Therapy Association. We represent the 36,000 physical therapists in America, and I'm here representing my colleagues this morning to testify in favor of House Bill 460 and to share with you some of our thoughts on this matter. I'd like to allude to Dr. Littlebridge's testimony and expand on it just a little bit. Those costs he cited to you, $1.2 million, he specifically stated were direct and accountable costs in a 10-year period for an individual who incurs paraplegia at age 5. I'd like you to look at some of the indirect costs. That child is going to require special education. They're going to be possibility of relocating the family. The rehabilitation facilities in Alaska right now are concentrated here in Anchorage, and the rural setting has very limited potential for dealing with them. I'd like to bring out one factor which may date me, but it's a very impressive factor. Many years ago, I paid $1,800 for my first car. Last week, as a physical therapist, I put through the paperwork on a wheelchair that is going to cost $2,150 for an active young person, and I don't think this was out of line. The medical and indirect supplies required for these youngsters are just out of this world. There's no other way to put it. And when we look at that $1.2 million, it doesn't begin to reflect the family strife, the relocation costs, the special education, the diminished income. These are all costs that must truly be added in here. And when we talk about the cost of rehabilitation, it's simply the frosting on the cake, and we've got to take a good look at that cake. Having dealt with that matter a little out of order, I'd like to go on to my prepared comments, and these are thoughts that have been shared with me by my colleagues. We recognize that there is a question in many minds of curtailment of freedom when we ask people to wear a helmet, to drive under 15 miles an hour, for these types of things. But we look at it this way. Physical therapy is dedicated to a fuller life, and we think this is the greatest freedom we have, to be alive, to live, to enjoy, and to love, and you simply can't do this as a vegetable. One of the questions directed to the previous speaker was concerning the types of injuries for young children. One of the most startling injuries that was brought to my attention shortly after I came to Alaska from the very urban setting of Chicago was to find two brothers, ages 5 and 9, from Barrow, on our pediatric ward with broken tibias and femurs. Literally, their knees were hanging free. Those boys, as I said, I've been here 3 years, a little over 3 years, they were injured shortly after I arrived, are continuing to require some form of medical care. They had to undergo surgical repair that night. We've had to take the rods out. Those continue to be followed and to require medical care. This requires transportation down from Barrow. It requires quarters and lodging for their family. Again, indirect costs that make that $1.2 million look like a gross underestimate when we're talking about average rehabilitation costs. I'd also like to add to you that perhaps it's a dream, but I can't help but hope that if we install healthful and respectful activities in our youth, that's the most effective way to assure a healthful society as things go on. I would like to believe that if we set by example, useful and safe, if we set safe practices as requirements for operation of ATVs, these practices might be carried over into other aspects of life. So in summary, we at the Alaska Physical Therapy Association feel very strongly that there is a need for regulation of all-terrain vehicles. We feel that the state of Alaska cannot continue in dollars and cents to support the cost of rehabilitation. And we feel that the humanity of the people, the population of Alaska, its greatest asset, cannot and should not be required to support the human cost of this carelessness. Thank you all very much, and I'd be happy to entertain specific questions on my testimony.
Thank you. Before we go further, I'd like the record to note that Representative Mike Davis has joined us. Representative Furness has a question.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. To Mrs. McAdoo, you probably do not have the backup information that has been provided to us, but I note in a memorandum from Commissioner Sundberg, he recommends an additional section which limits the number of riders on an ATV to one person. You just relayed to us an incident of two brothers. I would suspect that they were probably on the same vehicle at the same time. Based upon your experience in the outlying areas, is it feasible or advisable to recommend only one person per vehicle?
First of all, sir, you are correct. Same vehicle. And again, at the risk of dating myself, when you put a second person on there, you do move the center of gravity and, you know, affect your lever arms and the like. I don't want to bore you with the physics of the subject, but basically it detracts from the little stability that the vehicle has. I think it's very important that you limit it to one person.
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chairman.
Thank you very much, Ms. McAdoo. Representative Maru has a question.
Mrs. McAdoo, in Commissioner Sundberg's letter here, he states that it is currently illegal for ATVs to be operated on a roadway. However, in the villages, they are often used as the only means of transportation. In these cases, they are driven on streets and roadways. It would appear that a lot of people, are currently driving ATVs illegally, and in fact, I would guess that perhaps a majority of the injuries they're sustaining now are being done because they're driving ATVs illegally on roads and streets. Is that correct, or would you disagree?
I agree with your statement there. I don't have a count to present before you, but I think your observations are correct. Many of the accidents we see do occur on vehicles that are operated illegally.
Thank you. Obviously, the conclusion that one could draw is that if the current law were enforced as far as driving ATVs on streets and roadways, that we would do away with a lot of the injuries that people are sustaining.
No, sir, I don't share your conclusion. I think that the extension of that would be to say if the vehicle were not operated, there would be no accidents. But the vehicles are operated, and the types of injuries that we are seeing, catastrophic orthopedic and neurosurgery injuries, are those that can be limited. You know, you're talking about a mechanical problem here. Energy has to be expended in some way. You have the cushioning and energy absorbing device of the helmet. If you reduce your speed such that your kinetic energy is diminished, these factors are simple mechanics, and they're the ones that govern the occurrence and the prevention of injuries. So I don't think that the mere limitation of operation to legal areas, that probably would in some manner reduce the number of injuries, but those injuries that do take place would continue to be severe neurosurgical and orthopedic injuries. And these are injuries that by definition have long, long rehab and prolonged, terrible, catastrophic residuals.
Representative Hurley has a question.
What? Well, it's a statement. Answer to Representative Maru. The reason for the bill, the need for the bill is for the registration, because that's the reason why the law can't be enforced regarding them traveling illegally across the road, because they need to have the vehicles registered so that they can be cited.
Representative Maru.
Madam Chairman, Representative Hurley, I don't follow you. If somebody is doing something illegally, what difference does it make whether the vehicle has a number on it? The person can be caught and cited individually.
Well, I understand that there's a problem with enforcement, because I would defer to our getting somebody from public safety to answer that, and the troopers, but that's what they have told me, and that was one of the reasons for introducing the bill.
All right. Representative Davis, did you have a question?
Yeah, just a question. I was just curious if these new four-wheelers, are they a lot safer than the three-wheelers? And I don't know if the witness can answer that question.
Ms. McAdoo, could you answer that question?
Ma'am, I can't on the basis of an engineering analysis. I can tell you from my practice, we have not seen a reduction in injuries with the introduction of the four-wheelers. I think the very concept of an all-terrain vehicle, the freedom of the flexibility that it has by definition, are those very factors that make it vulnerable to these accidents, these injuries that we've talked about.
All right, thank you very much. We will go from Anchorage now to Kodiak. Steve Rennell.
Good morning. My name is Steve Rennell. I have a couple comments about House Bill number 460. Thank you for your time. First of all, I totally support this idea and this bill. I live in a subdivision where the road was put in 1979 by the state, and it's maintained by the state. And since I've lived there since the road was first constructed, it has always been used by three-wheelers. Although I have told them repeatedly they are not allowed on the road, and I have called the state troopers on a regular basis. Two areas where I would like to see the bill change slightly under section 05.40.3.030, registration certificate and decal, I would recommend that somehow you make it specific that they have a license plate similar to other vehicles so that they could be identified. That has been one of the main problems in any reporting that I have done in the past. The troopers have always asked, can you identify? And it's very difficult to identify. I've had three-wheelers pass me in a fog when I could barely see them, and I was doing probably close to the speed limit. So that's the type of thing that I would like to see changed. Also, if you want to really make the bill a little stronger, under operation by certain minors, section 05.40.070, I would suggest that after a person under the age of 17 years may not operate an off-road vehicle, you make it a period there and you delete sections 1 and 2 under there. That perhaps would make it so that those who are allowed to use these vehicles are of an older age where they can perhaps have a little more judgment in the use of such a vehicle. Thank you very much for your time. Do you have any questions?
Are there any questions of Mr. Rennell? No, they're not this time, Mr. Rennell. Thank you very much for your testimony. We will go now to Barrow, to Jack Smithen.
My name is Jack Smith. I'm employed by the North Pole Borough Health Department Youth Alternatives Program, and I'm also a nationally registered emergency medical technician, and have thus been involved with the emergency medical services, which I guess confronts me with the accidents and stuff that takes place in Barrow. I have a few comments on the bill. A few of them, I guess, are in support, and then there's a few concerns I'd like to make. The main thing I do support is the restrictions that are being placed on some of the young people. I think it's beneficial to set mandatory restrictions, like attending some kind of education program. We've been trying to implement these kinds of things in Barrow. Of course, that's voluntary so far. Another thing that we've encountered is that a helmet problem. That's something we're currently trying to deal with here in Barrow, and hopefully we're going to be developing our own education safety program in the very near future. In talking with some of the kids that I work with, their main problem with obtaining a helmet in the past was, number one, the cost. Helmets are not inexpensive whatsoever, and for the price of $130 for a piece of headgear that normally is going to suffer some abuse through banging around and stuff, they can sometimes see that money put to better uses, at least in their opinion. So currently we're looking at trying to obtain some helmets that we can distribute to them more cost effectively, at least for their budgets. I've heard a few other comments about rural ATV use, and I guess that's a few of my comments are about that. One thing I would strongly urge to consider is that elderly be exempt from the fees of registration. In the rural area of Barrow, we find many senior citizens and elderly people using ATVs in their daily personal life, grocery stores and things like that. And these people often have some problems trying to walk these distances. Another thing about rural Alaska is we also find a lot of ATV use for subsistence hunting, getting back and forth to whale camp and things like that. And I don't know how much this rural ATV use was considered in regards to writing this bill. Another thing I'd like to make a request on is that proposed off-road vehicle safety fund money be made available to other organizations. I noticed that the Department of Public Safety was identified, but what about the other organizations that promote and provide ATV safety? I know the 4-H Cooperative Extension has some very fine programs going, and they've done some real good projects. We've been working with them in the past year or so, and I think that they're doing some really good program developing. Would like to see that continue.
Thank you. Smith. Representative Davis has a question, Mr. Smith.
No, not a question, Mr. Smith. I think that's probably a good idea, because perhaps it's best if the local communities would have some kind of safety program. So I think that's a good suggestion, and we'll work on that suggestion to kind of incorporate it in the bill. Thank you.
I would like to make a statement that the cost of the helmet, I recognize that after the ATV is bought, perhaps the helmet seems like a large expense. However, I would imagine an ATV costs upward of $2,000. Perhaps the manufacturer could put helmets in the package when they sell them. Representative Maru, did you have a statement?
I had a question, Madam Chairman. Actually, three questions for the witness, if I may. Mr. Smith, one of the questions I have, I've already asked one witness, and that is that we have a letter from the Commissioner of Public Safety here saying that a lot of these vehicles are driven on streets and roads in the villages, which is illegal, and this presumably resulted in a large number of accidents. Is this the case in your area?
The rural area of Barrow sees many, and I'm having a hard time defining ATVs because snow machines are real abundant up here as well. We do see a lot of use. I can't define whether that's personal or otherwise. Personally, myself, I think the Department of Public Safety would forever be trying to apprehend these vehicles. They can take off on the tundra, cut across the lagoons and other places that public safety vehicles would never be able to traverse. So I think it would probably take a few officers 24 hours a day to try to enforce regulations to keep them off the streets of Barrow. Of course, that's just my personal opinion and comment.
Thank you, Mr. Smith. The second question I have here, we have a position paper from Department of Health and Social Services which says that in 1983 and 1984, 21 people were killed on off-road vehicles. It doesn't say whether that included snow machines. But of the 21, 11, or 52%, were related to alcohol. And in fact, of the 21, 8, or 38%, had blood alcohol concentrations over the legal limits. The bill only applies to people up to the age of 17. One would think that people under the age of 17 would not have access to alcohol, and therefore this bill might not even affect the 52% of the accidents that were where alcohol was involved. Does that seem to be the case in Barrow?
Well, I think that we've encountered a lot of accidents by young people. I can't really comment so much on their alcohol abuse. In the cases that I've assisted with in the emergency medical services portion of it, we normally just treat the injuries. The actual investigation of alcohol or drug consumption would be left up to the Department of Public Safety, and possibly the PHS department would be able to get some information on that. I do see consumption of alcohol by minors, and I think that providing them with education on this, mainly ATV use, would help at least make them aware of how alcohol can affect their driving. An additional comment is we're hoping at some point to possibly make our ATV safety presentation or education class be involved with the, we currently have a class that deals with people that have been charged with drinking and driving and minors consuming and so forth. We hope that eventually our ATV classes will be a part of these programs to educate people on the hazards of drinking and driving.
Thank you. The last question here has to do with age groups. According to the position paper from DHSS, the most dangerous age group is a 20 to 24 year age group, which it would not be affected by the bill. Most dangerous age group is 15 to 19, of whom only half would be affected by the bill. Do you find the same incidence of dangerous age groups in Barrow?
Madam Chairman, before they come...
We'll have him answer, and then Representative Hurley, I'd like to have you make a statement.
I see the bill affecting all people. I see some specific things being directed towards minors. I don't know if I can comment on the specific age group. I think I probably see that age group out a lot as they're out of school and possibly unemployed, so we may see more visibility. Of course, this is just my personal observation, but I think we could possibly see more visibility of these people in the community, and I think a lot of that may be coming from them out of school and possibly unemployed, so they may possibly be out more.
Thank you, Mr. Smith. Representative Hurley?
I just wanted to emphasize that this bill does affect everyone. There's only one section that regarding operation by certain minors, but the bill is for everyone to register and to be regulated. Also, I wanted to say to Mr. Smith and Barrow that there was consideration was given to the rural part of the state. I've traveled extensively out there and know how important these vehicles are for transportation and other uses, and there was no feeling on my part to make it impossible for them to use them, but it's important that we have people trained and to understand the limits of these machines, and that was what I had in mind.
Thank you, Representative Early. Representative Maru?
Madam Chairman, I'd like to call the committee's attention to lines 20 through 27 on page 2, where it requires a helmet only for people under the age of 17 and requires a valid off-road vehicle safety certificate only for people under 17. That's what I was referring to, those 8 lines on page 2.
Representative Hurley?
The drafter of the bill has been questioned about this and is going to be coming over around 8, because this very question was in my mind after I got rereading it last evening. Thank you, Representative Maru. Let's clear that up.
All right. We'll go now to Sitka, to Bob Myers.
Bob Myers is approaching the mic.
Hey, good morning. My name is Bob Meyer. I live here in Sitka, Alaska. First of all, it's very short notice. I just found out about this teleconference yesterday. I tried to get several other people to come down. Unfortunately, they're going to work. It's pretty hard to get somebody that has to be to work at 7:30 or 8 here to speak. I'm opposed, I believe, to probably most of the people that have already spoken this morning. My little girl has ridden a three-wheeler since she was 3 years old. My wife has ridden a three-wheeler for probably about 10 years now. I've ridden one probably since their inception, back around the late 60s or early 70s. Several friends of mine that range in age from probably, well, the youngest children probably 6 or 7 up to in the 70s and 80s. Ride both the three-wheelers and the four-wheelers. I can very happily say none of these people have ever had any kind of an injury. I'm kind of having a hard time putting in my mind what type of people ride around and have all these serious injuries. It's quite obvious it does happen from the facts that have been stated. I also have to think, though, that these same type of accidents happen not only on ATCs, but they happen in automobiles, they happen in pickup trucks, snowmobiles, and motorcycles. And it seems kind of strange that these, to me, seem very severe, stringent restrictions apply only to the ATC three-wheeler and four-wheeler when there have, you know, these type of accidents must occur on other vehicles. I think that a lot of the responsibility or the blame, if you want to put it that way, would have to lay with the parents of the, you know, the minors that are involved. Certainly, if you're talking about small children that are becoming injured, the blame or, you know, responsibility, I would think, has to lay with the parents somewhat. And to put severe restrictions on the entire population of people that want to ride these vehicles, I think is somewhat unfair. Also, think the recommendation of a 15-mile-an-hour speed limit is absolutely ridiculous. I mean, if we put a 15-mile-an-hour speed limit on automobiles, I think we would all agree that we would probably cut down or probably eliminate deaths and injuries in automobiles, but I think you can see that would be, you know, a ridiculous thing to do, and I think it's just as ridiculous to impose that upon three-wheel vehicles. For one thing, in southeast Alaska, it's totally different terrain than rural Alaska. There's certain situations up in the interior, perhaps 15 miles an hour, you know, isn't unreasonable, because maybe you're limited by the rough terrain to that speed, but certainly when you're riding down a logging road, 15 miles an hour would be a ridiculous speed. I also take, I think someone's pointing or promoting a kind of a biased attitude of the factories. Our Honda dealer here in town shows Honda safety films. I have never seen any advertising that has promoted unsafe operation. They have always emphasized safety. In fact, Honda spends thousands, probably hundreds of thousands of dollars on safety films that do show, you know, and, you know, show the importance of riding these vehicles in a safe manner. I'm really not too organized here. I'm just kind of here sketching notes. I would like to take, I believe it was Dr. Lillibridge, used an example. I'm not really sure what he was trying to say, but he was telling about million-dollar sailboats that only go 9 miles an hour. Well, you know, a sailboater that enjoys to go 9 miles an hour certainly has a right to do that, and I know that lots of people enjoy that. Quite honestly, sailboating is the most boring type of boating I've ever seen in my life, and I would never be on a sailboat. But if somebody enjoys that, I think that's great, but I don't think that because a person enjoys going 9 miles an hour that he should impose, you know, his will or feelings on everybody else. I also hear a couple people there talking about engineering standards and this and that on three-wheelers. I'm wondering if a person that, you know, is the head of the Alaska Physical Therapist really is qualified to talk about engineering and stability standards. Maybe she has training in that area, but I would cut it down. Another thing I was mentioned, that helmets cost $130. I bought my daughter a helmet for $39, so if only $130 helmets are available from your local store or dealer, there are good quality helmets available at a much cheaper cost. So that I think $39 is not an unreasonable charge for that. There was also a question there that I think was very well brought out, or a point that was made, that a majority, in fact, well over 50% of the accidents and injuries and deaths occurring on these vehicles are already, you know, being done on roads, highways. People are drunk, people are stoned, you know, all of these things. You know, people are breaking the law already. I think rather than pass a big blanket law that affects everybody, that if simply the laws that are in effect now would be enforced, whether it be by the local police departments or by the state troopers, according to this regulation and according to laws already in effect, it is against the law to ride any off-road vehicle on the highway or road. And if you eliminated that, if that was enforced, and you eliminated people riding that were drunk, I'm sure that a lot of these accidents would be, you know, eliminated without this type of a blanket law. I'm really 100% opposed to this type of a regulation. I think it really does infringe on people's rights, and people that ride them in a safe, sane manner do not have the type of accidents and terrible, you know, terrible things that you're talking about here. I wish I was more organized, but thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Myers. I believe Representative Maru has a question.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chairman. Mr. Myers, we have a report here from the House Research Agency, which does research for the House of Representatives, and it points out that, according to a study, in 1983 and 1984, there are 234 accidents from ATV use involving injury or property damage. Of these 234, 147, or 62%, occurred on public roads, which is illegal. You've also probably heard me say that another report says that in the same time period, there were 21 deaths statewide attributed to ATVs, and of those, 11 or 52% were related to alcohol. Now, this problem with alcohol and also driving on public roads, both of which are illegal, and apparently at least one of which would not be affected to a great extent by the bill, because the bill does have a section referring to people under 17. Do you find that these problems with alcohol and driving on public roads occurs in Sitka as well as in other parts of the state?
I'm probably really not qualified qualified to answer that. I know that I have talked with, you know, I know personally several of the police officers and the city police, and, you know, a few of the state troopers locally. To my knowledge, there has never been a serious accident in Sitka involving the three-wheelers or the four-wheelers, and I mean, forever. You know, there has never, ever been anyone that was seriously injured here that I am aware of. I have to assume that there are people that do ride them, you know, under the influence of alcohol and other drugs, but to my knowledge, that has never contributed to an accident. Certainly, I would not, you know, support that type of riding, but we have been quite fortunate here in Sitka, I believe. The number of people that have them, certainly no one's been killed, and as far as I'm aware, no one's been injured seriously. They do have problems riding on the road, but again, mainly that's younger children, you know, below the age of riding, you know, legal riding age anyway. We had kind of an interesting thing that happened here in Sitka. I believe it was all back about 1982. The Department of Public Safety or Department of Motor Vehicles passed a resolution or something outlawing the use of three and four wheelers on the highway. Up until that time, if you did meet the federal safety standards with turn signals and mirrors and brake lights, you could get your ATC registered and licensed and ride it on the highway. At that time, the people that had valid driver's licenses licensed their machines, drove them legally on the highway, and with no problems resulting from that. However, at that same time, you still had kids, for lack of a better term, you know, younger children that were not licensed. They were still riding them on the highway at that time. And now that the motor vehicle has been restricted from highway use, the only people that has really affected have been the people that were doing it legally back prior to 1982. Those people are no longer riding on the highway. The younger kids are still riding on the highway, and the law really had no effect that I can see.
Thank you very much, Mr. Myers. We're going to have to move on now. We appreciate your testimony. I'd like to go to back to Anchorage. Dr. John Mitto.
Is there a transmission ticket not picking up?
This is Lisa, the moderator, and Juno hailing Anchorage.
Hi, Anchorage is here.
Dr. John Mitto, please.
Dr. John Madoff, the state epidemiologist with the Division of Public Health, and I was one of the two investigators of our study, but also wearing another hat of president-elect of the Anchorage Medical Society and a counselor of the Alaska State Medical Association. And first, I would just like to make a brief comment about the study that we did. We were concerned in 1982 and 1983 of reports of the large number of injuries associated with three-wheelers in Alaska. So we asked the technical assistance of the Centers for Disease Control in Atlanta to send Dr. Suzanne Smith, one of their medical epidemiologists, to work with for several months. And we contacted vital statistics, got death certificates, went to the medical examiners, the magistrates, the coroners, all the hospitals and inpatient and outpatient records. And it was our analysis of these data, which are presented as our study of three-wheeler injuries in 1983 and 1984 in Alaska. And very briefly, we did find 20 Alaskans who were killed on three-wheelers in that two-year period. And I think particularly as it relates to Bill, only one of those fatalities was less than 15. And of the 20 fatalities, 12 adults potentially would have survived.
requiring intensive skilled care and rehabilitation, we expect them cumulatively to live 201 years, for which we will be providing cost of their custodial care, and it's estimated that that will be $11.5 million. That will exclude all physician fees, medicine, occupational therapy, physical therapy, rehabilitation therapy, speech therapy, etc. In addition to that, we were able to get for the 538 individuals injured, about 324 were hospitalized, and the hospitals shared with us the actual number of inpatient days and the actual billing for those patients. The average cost, which was not an estimate but actually calculated, was $577 per inpatient day, and the cost of care for those individuals just in the 2 years was $1.5 million. And all of these were potentially preventable, in our opinion. I think that there are just a couple of comments referring to our study that I would like briefly to clarify. One is about the most dangerous age group. We really can't say that from our studies. We know the age groups in which advocates for injuries that we discovered, but we don't know how many individuals in age group were operating the vehicle. So in fact, it may be that the people in the, say, young adult age group, there's so many more of those operating the vehicles here in Alaska because of the ways the vehicles are used here, that the rate of injury suspect is far higher in children than in adults. We can't prove that, but it's something that we believe might occur. Rather than go through any additional results of the study, I'd like, if you'll permit me, to switch hats just for a moment. And now, representing the Anchorage Medical Society and Alaska State Medical Association, I'd like to say that both organizations have officially endorsed House Bill 460 and feel strongly that this is a major important step to try to promote safety. And that's what our biggest concern is, not property damage, but damage to individuals. We're concerned, though, and would like to offer to the committee consideration of three major points. One is, we believe that the legislation should require use of helmets of all riders of off-road vehicles. As I mentioned, the studies show that 12 of the individuals who were killed in a two-year period were all adults. They all were older than 17 and would have not been included in this legislation if it were to pass in its present form. The second concern we have is that we recommend that the bill be amended to require individuals be 11 years or older in order to be licensed and, of course, be certified to operate the vehicles. And we believe the vehicles are powerful, sophisticated machines, and they require dexterity, strength, skill to operate them safely, and that children less than 11 simply don't possess the adequate motor skills, physical strength, and judgment to operate safely. I think nationally, many studies are underway and engineering studies which will substantiate that. And finally, we urge you to consider amending the bill to make carrying passengers illegal. The manufacturers themselves have indicated that the vehicles are made and intended to produce only by one individual, and that the instability inherent in adding passengers or even adding weight to the back, I mean, whether that's a moose or whether it's fish, whatever, causes additional problems and instability. Our studies show that passengers appear to have a much greater likelihood of being injured than operators if there's just a single operator. I'd like to thank you very much for the opportunity to present to you information, and I'll close my comments here, but we would be happy to respond if there's anything about our work and studies that I could answer through the committee. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Vidal. I'd like to go now to...
Madam Chairman.
Excuse me. Representative Maru.
Dr. Meadow, in your opinion, how many lives could be saved annually in Alaska if everyone were required to wear helmets riding in automobiles?
You know, I wish I could answer that. We're actually working with DOT to do some detailed analysis of all motor vehicle injuries occurring in the state, and I think I might be able to awe of the fact that someone will crash their car at 280 miles an hour, flip it 12 times, be extracted from the wreckage, dust themselves off, and walk away. And the reason for that is because of occupant packaging. And those drivers are in individually molded seats with double strapped in harnesses and special helmets. And so the message is there. We could probably eliminate most injuries associated with motor vehicle operation in the state if we only had better occupant protection, quite apart from whether or not someone gets hit by a drunk driver, gets tibbles demolished, but everybody inside walks away unscathed. That would be the major goal of public health, not the major goal of public policy, but the major goal of public health. So I hope I could answer that question to you in the future.
Thank you very much, Doctor. We'll now go to Matt Sue. I believe, I do not have the last name, but I believe we have someone there by the name of Dan to testify.
Excuse me, Madam Chairman. Our first person to testify is Dr. Werner, and we do have two other people waiting.
All right. Dr. Werner, would you please approach the mic?
Thank you. I'm David Werner. I'm a family physician in the Valley. I've been here 11 years. I'm secretary of the MAPSU Medical Society and secretary of the Valley Hospital medical staff. I spoke last week with regards to the bill, and I've had time to do a little more talking with people and study the bill somewhat. We find that a bill of this nature, 460, very commendable, certainly a step in the right direction, and we're awfully glad that somebody is got the interests of our children in mind. I think our main concern here is hopefully lowering the body count that we've been seeing in the Valley Hospital emergency room associated with three-wheeler accidents. I don't actively work full-time in the emergency room anymore. I used to up until a year and a half ago. Now we have an emergency room group doing this, but I have seen my share of three-wheeler accidents, and I have seen the age group, and I have seen the injuries involved, and I have seen the apparent response to this problem. We think that your bill is certainly a good step in the right direction, but as it stands, I think we can probably safely say that we'll only see perhaps a 5 to 10% reduction in the injuries that we see, and we're talking on the average of a little more than one serious injury a day in the Valley. We have a lot of space out here, a lot of roads, a lot of subdivision roads, power line right-of-ways, gravel bars, etc., where people do an awful lot of riding, and we certainly see our share of three-wheeler accidents. We'd like to, or I at least, would like to see some additions to the bill. Some of these may seem a bit drastic. I'd like to see a minimum age of in the 12, 13, or 14 age group for any operation of the vehicle at all, and strictly prohibited for anybody less than that age. I would settle on 13 as an arbitrary age. Now, the bill states that we're dealing with operation on public land. I would like to have that restriction go for public and private land. Children can get injured. A five-year-old can get injured in his own backyard or the back 40 just as easily as somewhere out of sight. I would like to see mandatory training for people from that minimum age up to the age of 17, mandatory training and a safety course. I'd like to have safety courses available for anybody over 17, of course, who wishes to have that. I think the matter of carrying passengers, the double riding, is very important. A number of the accidents we've seen have had people riding double. We would like to see a restriction on alcohol, not necessarily just in the young age group, but any sort of, we prohibit drunk driving in automobiles, and I think it should extend to our ATCs also. Safety gear should be required, whether you're on public public land or private land. You can get, as I said, hurt just as badly in the back 40 or in your backyard as you can out elsewhere. I think that about sums up my feelings on this. As I said, we are trying to reduce the body count in the emergency room, the serious injuries, and we think that this is what it's going to take. There will probably be a lot of unhappy people about this, but I think it will stand some of the injured children in good stead. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Werner. Representative Davis has a question.
Yes, thank you, Dr. Werner. I actually saw several individuals in the head-on collision myself where one young child was killed. Curious, you said that you get about one, or have had one person a day in the emergency room. I was curious what the age group is. Is there any age group that you see more than others? Or?
I don't have the statistics on that. This would be for the summer months, of course. On the average of one person a day, it ranges from the adults who are just learning to the 3-year-olds who will come in with a broken arm. I don't think we see a one given age group represented here.
Thank you, Dr. Werner. Representative Penalberry.
Thank you. Dr. Werner, or maybe anyone else that's listening, including the sponsor, just wonder on all these statistics about the number of people who are hurt with ATVs, if we have any comparison of the number of people who are hurt by guns in this state.
I don't have that restriction. If I had my way, we wouldn't have the 8-year-olds out with their 22s or the 10-year-olds out with their 22s or their shotguns either, but that's a whole different matter. I think we need to deal with this particular aspect of public safety and public health as being a step in the right direction. We certainly see our share of gunshot wounds, but by far and away, what comes in the doors to the emergency room involving children, we've got an awful lot more serious three-wheeler injuries than we do gunshot wounds. And we're talking about not just the head injuries that seem to get a lot of publicity, but we're talking about broken pelvises, fractured femurs, arms and legs, broken necks, broken backs, internal injuries with ruptured spleens and livers, and crushed chests. The idea that the required safety equipment, the safety gear, the helmets, the boots, the mitts, the goggles, is going to make people, children, bomb-proof in an accident is a misconception. We're going to see a lot of other blunt trauma and extremity trauma continue, even though the safety gear is also a step in the right direction.
Thank you, Dr. Werner. I agree with you, and this bill is, I think, a great step in the right direction, but I'm trying to tweak the consciences of people who are concerned about other kinds of safety also.
Yes, this is Dr. George Brown in Mat-Su. I'd like to respond to your question, Representative. I can recall in the nearly 8 years I've been here in the Valley, 3 separate incidents involving 5 or maybe 6 deaths of children due to loss of control of guns.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Because of the expeditious use of time, I'd like to know if there's anybody on the network that disapproves of the bill. We've had a great deal of testimony in favor of the bill, a great many statistics. I think we'll probably be covering the ground that's already been covered. Is there anyone out there who would like to testify against the bill?
Madam Chair.
Excuse me, this is the moderator in Gillingham. I have one person to testify.
All right, please do, and please have her state her name.
Representative Murray, my name is Tom Children, and I work for the Bristol Bay Area Health Corporation as a safety instructor, and I just have a few comments regarding the bill.
All right.
send you a letter along with Representative Herman and Senator Fred Zorat. And my feeling on the bill is that I do have a lot of questions, and I won't go over the questions that I already wrote and sent to you. And I do want to pass on that a few facts about Bristol Bay here. We serve 32 villages over 30,000 square miles with a population of approximately 6,000 people. And 80% of these people depend on the three-wheeler for transportation and work. It is not a recreational vehicle. It's most used for transportation and work. It isn't uncommon to see three or even four two-wheelers in some of the households in the villages. When I heard some of the people testify in regards to use of the three-wheelers on streets and roads in the villages, a lot of the streets and roads are non-existent. There are trails in some of the villages. We have such a variety of terrain in our area. We go all the way from mountainous terrain to flat and hilly terrain. The three-wheelers aren't only used by rural residents. They're used by professionals as well, the health aides, village public safety officers, commercial fishermen, firefighters, schools. We even have three-wheeler in many villages rigged for hiring firefighting equipment.
Kelvin.
What's his name?
Tilden.
Yes. Tom, I would like to ask you a question, then we have a couple other questions. Do you have any problem with those vehicles being registered and a decal being put on them to make them legal?
Yes, I do. I have a little problem with that because a study that was done by McKnight was that only approximately 1/6 of the vehicles will probably get registered, and there'll be five sticks out there running illegal.
I see. Thank you a lot. Representative Furness, did you have a question?
Thank you, Madam Chairman. To Mr. Tillman, you may be aware, sir, that one of the recommendations coming from Commissioner Sundberg from the Department of Public Safety is that we limit the ridership to one person only. I realize here that in your particular locale that the vehicles are used not necessarily for recreation but as a necessary mode of transportation. What impact would it cause your communities to limit one ridership per vehicle? Or is that a source of concern?
I'm by all means not an expert and wouldn't be able to say for sure that, you know, whether how much of a hardship that would cause in some of the villages. But I also believe too that locally that some of the villages probably could pass ordinances where they can require only one person per vehicle.
That's an excellent solution. Representative Davis?
Yeah, Tommy, this is Mike Davis, and appreciate your comments. I think what this legislation is doing is an attempt to address a serious health hazard, and I don't think the attempt of the legislation is to make it onerous or its attempt to try to bring about some solutions. And I agree with what you're saying. A lot of the villages don't have roads, they have trails. But if you have some suggestions on implementation of this legislation or ways that would try to address this that are not included in the legislation, we'd certainly be interested in those.
Representative Maru, did you have a comment?
I feel strongly about local control and to give the villages an opportunity to draft up and pass local ordinances on helmet laws, speed limits, DWIs, age restrictions. This will give the villages an opportunity to tailor a local law that will meet their needs. For instance,
Representative Maru.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Sir, there's some confusion here as to your last name. If you could spell your last name for us.
It's T-I-O-N.
And also, my understanding is that you oppose the bill. Is that correct?
Tell me.
Well, I would want to go on record as saying I oppose the bill. I think there's a chance here that maybe we could modify it so it would, meet everybody's needs. And I think we also need to do a little study and research and find out whether the amount of time and use that we use three wheelers in the villages is and compare it with the car use in big cities of Anchorage and see whether our accidents and injuries are higher than the car users in Anchorage in the big cities.
Thank you very much. In the because resource is going to meet here, we are going to adjourn at 8:20. So we're not going to be able to get completely around the network to everybody who wishes to testify.
Yes, this is Dillingham.
Yes.
The person to testify, his last name is T-I-L-D-E-N, Thomas Tilden.
T-I-L-D-E-N. Thank you so much, Mr. Tilden. There's been some new information in Anchorage. A witness there has some new information. And could we go there, please? As I said, we will be adjourning in approximately 6 minutes.
Katie, do you know Tom Tilden?
Thank you, Representative Cato. I do not have new information, but I have an issue that has not yet been discussed this morning. My name is Carrie Bashaw, and I'm presenting testimony this morning on behalf of Deborah Williams, an Anchorage attorney. Because of a deposition, she was unable to present this statement herself and asked me to do so. Ms. Williams' testimony is as follows. Through my law practice, several accidents involving off-road vehicles have come to my attention. It is with this experience that I reviewed House Bill number 460. I commend the legislature for beginning to address the health and safety problems associated with off-road vehicles. However, I urge the legislature to add an insurance requirement to House Bill 460, similar to that recently adopted for the operation of automobiles. Such an insurance requirement would provide necessary protection for the victims of off-road vehicle accidents. In support of an insurance requirement, I would like to relate what recently happened to an Anchorage resident. Last year, he was run into by several children operating an off-road vehicle. He was severely injured. Because of the off-road vehicle was not specifically insured, the insurance companies associated with other policies, automobile, homeowners, etc., are claiming that the accident was not covered. The parents of the children driving the off-road vehicle have no assets. Therefore, my client, whose leg was almost destroyed, may never be compensated for this terrible injury. Off-road vehicles are dangerous not only to the operators, but also to others. To protect potential victims of accidents, I urge the legislature to impose an insurance requirement for the registration and use of off-road vehicles. Thank you for your time.
Thank you very much, Carrie. We appreciate your testimony. We have approximately 2 minutes to go. If there is no negative testimony on the network, then we'll discontinue the network at this time. Excuse me a moment. Representative Hurley?
Could we ask those persons who are not able to be heard to send in, if they have written comments, to add to the testimony to the hearing?
Yes. I'm extremely sorry that we weren't able to get completely around the network and give everybody an opportunity to testify. I would like to thank all of you for coming out at this, some people say, unholy time of morning. I say it's a good time of morning.
Unholy.
But would very much like for you to send any of your testimony to the Transportation Committee, pouch V as in Victor, Juno 98199811, and address it either to me or Representative Hurley. We'll both get it.
Pardon me, Madam Chairman. This is the moderator in Anchorage.
Yes.
We have had one person that has just indicated he has some negative input regarding the bill.
All right. Would he please step to the mic and speak rather rapidly?
Thank you, Representative Cato. Most of mine are positive, but I have quite a few major concerns. I am Dr. Robert McKnight. I am a faculty member at the University of Alaska, Anchorage. A doctorate in public health with a specialty in injury control. Although I authored the 50-page document,
prepared by the Division of Public Health called Five Methods of Injuries Associated with ATVs. My comments this morning are strictly my own. They do not represent any official agency. My comments are six areas. Basically, I find this bill to be too weak. I do not think it is going to be sufficiently effective to decrease the injuries associated with this. Hence, I am proposing these changes. Point number one, there needs to be a minimum age restriction added to this bill as an amendment. I propose 12 years of age being the minimum age that a child should operate these vehicles on public property. Point number two, I have some serious doubt that the proposed fees for registration, currently set at $15 every 3 years, are going to be sufficient to properly fund the education and enforcement of this bill. I urge the committee to increase these fees to an amount that will adequately fund these programs. I suggest $30 every 2 years. Point number three, there needs to be an amendment to this bill adding insurance. I agree with the comments by Ms. Bashaw that the insurance should be added. Point number four, House Bill 460 needs to be amended to require that helmets be worn by all operators of ATVs, not just youth under 17 years of age. Please remember that the helmet is the single most effective device that can prevent serious and fatal injuries in these riders. And finally, I want to add that I hope the members of the committee recognize the serious public health dilemma that has been caused by the rapid popularity of the all-terrain vehicle, both in Alaska and the lower 48 states. The body count for these deaths continue to mount. In the last 2.5 years, over 330 persons in the U.S. have been killed by these vehicles. About 23%, almost one-fourth of these deaths occurred to children under the age of 12. Furthermore, of the 330 ATV deaths nationwide, about half could have been prevented if persons had worn helmets. The federal government has launched an intense investigation on the all-terrain vehicle through the U.S. Consumer Product Safety Commission, and at least one of the four commissioners of the Consumer Product Safety Commission has urged that these vehicles be recalled from public use. There is growing concern that there are severe engineering problems in this vehicle related to its stability and handling, factors that predispose this vehicle to tip over. The bottom line is that this vehicle poses unreasonable risk to the public health of this state, and I again stress the word unreasonable. The legislature before you, if it is properly amended, will help to reduce these injuries. However, I fear that if the bill is not amended, it will have very little impact in clinically reducing the number of injuries we're seeing in this state. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Dr. McKnight. Representative Finalberry. We have exactly 1 minute.
Okay. Madam Chairman, I have no questions of the witness, but I do want to say this has been one of the more active morning meetings that we've had in this committee, and I really appreciate the feeling that the people have testified, and those who didn't have a chance to testify have about the issue. And I especially want to compliment the sponsor of the bill for putting together a good package for us and lining up witnesses, and it's been very helpful. For the record, though, we're going to take this bill up again in a week or so. I'd like to relay three concerns to the sponsor that I would hope that she would work on. First of all, on page 3 of the bill, in section 054090, subparagraph 2, where we talk about the design should be made to provide an area to fix the sale. Our retailers have nothing to do with the design of the vehicles, and I'd like to take that section out. Better that the decal should be designed to fit the vehicle than trying to make a retailer's design vehicles, vice versa. Then I would also, the number 3 under that, the part about helmet sales being sold with the vehicle, I think that's an excellent idea, except if the guy already has 4 helmets, how do we really want to make him buy a fifth helmet? And then Representative Davis's comment earlier about the Tobiac situation, nobody really wants to take on the training. Everybody says training's a good idea, but nobody really wants to set up the training program. And how are you going to get somebody in Togiak, for example, to pass a training program? That we're going to require them to come into Anchorage or somewhere? I think we've got to really get into the mechanics of how the training programs will work if we're going to do something meaningful. And I think it ought to be done. But it's a great bill. I appreciate the work you've done, Representative Hurley, and I hope we can satisfy those concerns.
Just a comment on your last suggestion. In talking to public safety, it was our feeling that they should do contracting with individuals, and there are organizations in the state already doing training on ATVs, and I'm sure that this is the kind of thing that we could work out,
private
because
sector.
I don't want them to have put on a lot of In fact, I've talked to Sundberg about the fiscal note because I don't want it to be so high and that they're going to be employing a lot of people, because I don't think that's necessary, because there are groups out there willing and have already started doing training, and we want to work into that. And I'd be very happy to work with your staff and with the attorney who drafted it to take into consideration the suggestions that have come up today, because I already had been considering a sponsor substitute, but decided that it would be better to just have the testimony and work through after hearing what people were saying and your feeling as a committee. And thank you very much for a very good hearing.
And thank you, Representative
Early. I'm amazed at the turnout around the state.
It just shows people do like to get up early in the morning.
When it's something of interest.
Thank everyone on the network for being there. I now declare the Transportation Committee adjourned.